have you been having discussions with your family around COVID vaccinations? Well, while some adults have been vaccinated, they say they don't want their kids to be. Having hard discussions about getting the kids vaccinated can get even trickier when you are co-parenting. Even when you're, you know, together, it can possibly trigger an argument. Lisanne Eriks, I think, is a mediation and conflict expert, and she joins us on ABC Drive to offer some pointers for navigating the conversation. Hello, did I mispronounce your name?
No, you did not, Kim. Hi, Lisanne Eriks. It is. This was really good. Thank you.
What? That is a fluke. Hey, look, what the topic of COVID vaccinations, I did hear someone say that they would have it but not their kids, or they have had it but don't want their kids to have it. So it's a conversation now that's happening between mum and dad in the same house. But with families co-parenting, that's really hard. Is it an important conversation for families and teenagers to start having?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. I mean, inherently, normally vaccine conversations that are not COVID related, often it's value conflict, which is, you know, quite a hard conflict to resolve because people have certain beliefs. But I think with the COVID vaccine, you know, like you just pointed out, there's lots of people who are not actually against the vaccines, but they just have lots of concerns. And I think what happens in most of the conversations that people have, if they have them, that they just go to an argument really quickly, and they just say, oh, you know, what you say is stupid or not valid, or where do you get it from? And it just sort of turns, people go around in circles rather than actually go, okay, what is your actual concern? When you really figure out what someone is worried about, for example, you know, long-term effects, or what I'm hearing is people are concerned about it's not been around that long, et cetera, et cetera. Then you can actually go and deal with these concerns, that rather than having this kind of blanket conversation around the vaccine, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, totally. But unfortunately, and we know these stories in co-parenting, even if you know that something is best for the child, some parents just like to disagree for disagreement's sake.
Yeah, no, they sometimes do. And I think what I see mostly from working with separated parents, that people have a very different idea what is best for the child. So I think that's where it is to start, because people throw it around a lot, like the best interest is for children, because that's what the Family Law Act talks about. But it's really about, okay, what do you think is in the best interest of your children? And yeah, some people do argue for the sake of arguing. Someone says black and someone says white. But I think, though, Kim, in general, if you really listen to someone and you really go, what, you know, why do you not want this? I think often that really makes a big difference. You know, someone might have a first reaction to what you have to say, and they might instantly go, no, I'm saying black because you said white. But if you really engage in a conversation and really sit down and go, okay, you know, because these people have something in common, they really love their kids. So, you know, one of the things I think it's really important to do is go, well, how do we want the future to look? And you know, if someone, for example, has a concern about it, there's so many ways to roam. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people think, oh, maybe they do it 6 months down the track. That could be an agreement instead of doing it now, or whatever works for that family.
Well, there is a lot of politically charged banter around vaccines. And so you can see how things could break down, even for parents who normally agree on what's best for their child. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been really unsettling, and the communication from, you know, governments and things like that has been really sometimes inconsistent around vaccinations, what's good, what's not. So people are just also, I think, generally just confused and concerned. So just don't be so hard on each other is what I would say, and just really sit down and say, what, just hear them out, because I think often we don't actually hear people out and we don't actually really listen. And we're trying to interrupt or defend or do something about their argument and convince them to see it the way we see it. And when you do that, you just don't get anywhere. Like, I if you really listen to the end and just get it, let them get it all out, and then go, okay, I got what you said, this is what you're worried about. And then you often, people find it also much easier to actually listen to what you have to say. So that's where I would start. I'm not saying that these are easy conversations. I'm not saying that they can be resolved, but that would be the first starting point.
And you mentioned they're talking about the future. So is that, you know, what the next few years might look like in relation to education, to travel, to employment, and, you know, what countries and employers are expecting from people?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, and of course, again, this has a lot of political stuff around it. Some people agree or disagree with that this is happening. But I think it's realistic to say, particularly with travel, that if, you know, I think Qantas already had an ad out there, like, if you're not vaccinated, you're not going to get on a plane. I don't know what the rules will be around children, but my gut feeling is that, you know, we will, and we used to have to have vaccinations for travelling to some countries already in the past as well. So I think those kind of things will come into play, and people will have to have these conversations and think about, okay, what do we want to go and keep doing those things as a family, even a separated family, or not? Or do we find it more important to not get vaccinated?
Okay, so we're listening, we're asking for information and educating ourselves so we can have a constructive conversation. We're understanding what the concerns are, talking about the future. What if it all fails? What do we do, Lisanne?
Then you call me.
That's what a mediation and conflict expert's there for.
No, but seriously, not necessarily me, but just a mediator. Yeah, so someone who is good at helping people resolve conflict. And again, we don't have magic wands, but mediators are trained to help people sit down and resolve this. And with separated parents, that's what I do all day, every day. And it really makes a difference sometimes. Someone who's neutral and who has no agenda to facilitate a conversation like that. Because particularly if you are separated and you can't agree, at one point, if someone wants to do something in relation to education or travel or anything like that and you can't agree, at one point you will end up in a family court. You have to go to mediation first. So I would say try to do it yourself. If it doesn't work, go and see if you can do it with a mediator. And then at one point people might have to ask someone to make a decision, but that's not the ideal situation at all. So no. I would definitely try to stay away from that if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Lisanne Eriks, thank you so much for joining me. And that is a really important conversation for parents to start having. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Kim.
It's a pleasure. Cheers.